we love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
NXT 2.0's Walter gets a name change we did not see coming. AEW welcomes Jon Moxley home, as does apparently any wrestling show he can find. We are less than a week away from WWE's Royal Rumble, but is WWE selling us more on new stars, or have they become a nostalgic company focusing on the past? While it doesn't seem to be an issue when it comes to marketing names in the ring, is there an issue of ageism behind the scenes in WWE? How you doing? I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's Wrestling Radio Show, Sunday night's main event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. We are talking all about the Royal Rumble today, and we're broadcasting across Canada on the iHeartRadio Talk Network, TSN Radio, and online at snmeradio.com. We also have our own podcast network, which you can sign up for less than a buck a show. We give you everything we can, recaps of all the big shows, weekly coverage of WWE, AEW television, the latest headlines, premium live events, pay-per-views, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/snmeradio. Today on the show, it's a Rumble Roundtable with SNME Network's Boris Aguilar and Matthew Ederer, plus Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer stops by in moments, and some of your feedback about this year's upcoming Rumble, who you think's going to win, go all the way to WrestleMania, and we're going to go back in time to your first wrestling event. Do you remember what it was? Was it a big show? Was it an indie show in a gym, in a veteran hall? First, though, the biggest stories of the week in pro wrestling. Here is this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
As we hear of superstars asking for their release, one WWE superstar has re-signed. It was reported Thursday that Sami Zayn has re-signed for some big numbers with WWE. There is speculation that if his best friend Kevin Owens stayed or left, it would indicate Sami's choice as well. Zayn has been orbiting the main event scene of SmackDown for the past few months. Could this be a big move for him? You think about it. They got more security in him. He's killing it on the mic. People love booing this guy. For our American listeners especially, but it might affect things here in Canada a little bit, the Olympics are interfering with wrestling again. Okay, that headline might be a little dramatic, actually. USA Network will be airing the Winter Olympics this year, which means that Raw is moving to the Sci-Fi Network for American viewers. February 7th and February 14th.
Valentine's Day. Bummer.
Those editions of Raw will be replaced by men's figure skating and freestyle skiing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
winner of this match is Gunther!
It's no secret now that NXT star Walter is now known as Gunther, but he also had a last name that had to have been for attention. Gunther Stark was the name that was filed for a trademark earlier this week. Gunther Stark was a German Olympian who was also a celebrated German U-boat captain under the Nazi regime. Apparently, this oversight was corrected as WWE then filed for an urgent abandoning of the filing. The question is, was this a sincere application or was this meant to get some attention? Let's face it, working the internet fans now is part of the game, so we'll see what happens as things move on. I don't even want to think about what other names they apply for. A fascinating story from an interview with Scott Taylor, a.k.a. Scotty Too Hottie. He was a guest on Chris Jericho's podcast last week and talked about some of the reasons he left NXT as a coach. Now, he wasn't released. If you remember, he left about a month before the big releases of the NXT coaches. While he has openly talked about his desire to do more in the wrestling business, he also dished on some things that were suggested from the top, including Vince McMahon reportedly wanting the coaches to look younger, including dyeing their hair and beards if necessary. I'd love to translate this to other sports now. If we could get Bill Belichick, maybe some hair dye. And could you imagine walking up to Mike Ditka back in the day and being like, Mike, how do you feel about dyeing the stash? You know, a little bit just for men. Oh, so many people would get so punched. Dem boys are hinting towards AEW. The Briscoes, who we are hot on the heels of trying to figure out where they're going to end up next. Of course, they're part of tonight's GCW pay-per-view. But they were also on Busted Open Radio recently, and they were laying a lot of hints about AEW. While nothing has been confirmed, this show is produced before the GCW pay-per-view tonight, so we don't know if FTR has shown up in GCW or not to answer the Briscoes Open Challenge either. But all signs would point to this happening sooner than later. That is the five count. Now, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter on the line. Tons of questions. One of the big ones, Jon Moxley apparently returning to anywhere there's a wrestling ring right now. Also, we're going to dive more into the Gunther Stark trademark application, whether or not that was to work the internet fans, plus your Royal Rumble predictions, and we're going to take a trip down memory lane and find out your first main events at your first live wrestling shows. That and a lot more still to come on this week's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle, RK-Bro, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter joins us once again.
Very interesting time in wrestling. Coming up for the Rumble, and AEW just pulled a really good rating on Wednesday night.
Everything just seems to change every week. I mean, we can just go to AEW and we can talk about Jon Moxley. His return was actually announced not on AEW first.
Yeah.
Actually announced by GCW, who have that big pay-per-view tonight. It still seemed a little abrupt, didn't it? Do you know if this was part of the plan? Was Tony Khan being nice and saying, you know what, let GCW run with it. We'll rush the announcement on Tuesday and get him on Wednesday.
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, obviously it had to all be cleared through Tony Khan. So I guess he was okay with it. I was surprised every week since January 5th, I think. Even January 5th in Newark, I was thinking, okay, this is the week Moxley shows up as a surprise. I just figured that they would do it as a surprise rather than, and the idea is, yeah, you wouldn't get the first week rating with a surprise, but you would pick up the rating the next week, because that's what's happened with a lot of surprises. So it's not like you're giving it away, even though, you know, it's theoretically, it's probably best advertised, but I just thought that that's what they would do. And then GCW made the announcement and I thought, like, you know, they've got to have his first appearance. So it had to be this week. And they did, at that point, they did announce it, but it was like they announced it the day before. But I think one of the things that we learned is they did a really good number. So that's all you need. You only need one day of advance. Because a lot of people are going, oh, it's not going to mean anything because people only got one day notice. And it's like, well, one day notice made a difference. They did a better number this week than they did for the Danielson Adam Page match that had weeks of buildup. So as long as you get it out there the day before, or even maybe even the day of, but I would go with the day before, you know, but WWE a lot of times will do something day of and get the benefit of it. So as long as it's out there ahead of time, you'll get the benefit. And if you don't do it and you want to do a surprise, you'll probably get the benefit of it the week later. But that's not as much of a lock.
Back in the day, the day before promoting would almost be considered hotshotting. And now it seems that, like you said, the immediacy promotion, the short attention spans we have thanks to social media and wanting instant gratification. Have you seen this trend in wrestling marketing? I mean, you've been following the industry forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember if you go back, like, say, 25, 30 years, WWE would have the whole card out there, you know, a month in advance. And sometimes, you know, for WrestleMania, you know, you knew in January what the main event was going to be, even before the Rumble often, but always after the Rumble. But now, I think that what happened was when UFC started pulling really good pay-per-view numbers, and it became very clear that they did intense marketing from Wednesday through Saturday, and it worked. It was kind of like, wow, you don't need a month of hard hype. The rolling out of the matches and everything has been more strategic and slower and things like that. And from both WWE and AEW, where they're not going to give you the whole card like a month in advance or 3 weeks in advance, because they know that if they peak it too early, maybe it's not even a good thing. So you try to peak that interest the day of the show or the week, you know, the week of the show, really build that crescendo up from midweek to until the weekend.
Speaking of marketing, speaking of making characters more interesting and marketable, perhaps by changing a name, Gunther Stark with Walter, was this a work on the internet, fans? Was this all done?
No.
Are you sure? Because I think,
No. I'm 100% sure that nobody looks for that publicity. And they went out there and registered the name. So that was their idea for the name.
Yeah.
And obviously nobody, because the Gunther Stark name is not a famous name in German history or anything like that. I mean, it is a name. It is there. And as soon as that came out, you know, they immediately dropped the Stark and now he's just Gunther. And so it was just one of those unfortunate things that WWE was trademarking the name. They didn't do the due diligence on looking it up, because if they had, they wouldn't have done this. That's what it was. It was an oversight.
Well, I know. That's a thing, though, right? I mean, this is WWE. I was talking about publicly traded multi-billion-dollar corporation. One Google search.
Sometimes they don't do that because Stark just means strong, and Gunther is just the name they wanted, and they didn't put it all together. And, you know, you could say, one, but nobody there did the one. So that's what happened.
I mean, it's just funny because first it comes up and you say he's not a famous name, but he was an Olympian. And then he was, of course, the Nazi regime U-boat captain, which is, if you're not understanding what we're talking about in this story, this was the big issue with this name being chosen. As soon as word got out, WWE did the right thing. And like you said, they abandoned the trademark. But I don't know, Dave, and maybe, I mean, I know you know more than I do when it comes to this, but I just get this sniff of like backhanded marketing where it's like, you know, we'll get everybody to cause a big ruffle about this. And
nobody wants to do marketing where the big thing is just like, you're so stupid. You didn't even Google the name. You don't do that as a work on the internet. That makes you look stupid. It doesn't make anybody else look stupid.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll give you that one for sure. This was an interesting story coming from the Talk is Jericho podcast. Scotty Too Hotty was on there, and he said that there was an edict going around once the new regime took over for 2.0 that they were wanting coaches to look younger in the new NXT.
Yeah, even
though they're
not
on TV, they're not on camera, you know, they're rarely seen. Does this make sense? Is this?
No, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't surprise me because if you ever look at executives in WWE, if you meet them and everything, they are always look a certain way. You know, it's just like, I mean, they're looking for, you know, like almost like they look for their wrestlers. They're looking for people who make that appearance of being, you know, it's like the public appearance of being somebody tall, you know, not fat, good looking. You know, that's how Vince just wants his employees to be. The executives, I mean, Kevin Dunn being the exception, but for the most part, I mean, the people, when you're talking about like talent relations and people like that, I mean, I just remember, you know, meeting John Laurinaitis and Kenyon Seaman, you know, I mean, and these are tall, blonde, good looking guys. And, you know, yeah, it makes no sense, but it's Vince, you know, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, like when I heard that, it didn't surprise me, but when I also heard that, I go, you know, this makes no sense. Who cares if you've got a gray beard and you're a coach? You're not even on television. Who cares if you're The coach should be judged on how good he coaches. They're, you know, if they're on TV, it's a completely different ballgame. Right. But even then, even on TV, I think that they way overemphasize looks.
Well, and that's fair, too. I mean, it's all about the job being done behind the scenes when it comes to coaching. I made the crack earlier in our five count news segment that, you know, could you imagine the NFL walking up to Bill Belichick and saying, you know, Bill, the gray hair works and everything, but have you thought about this? And they just hand him like a Just for Men thing. And it just,
yeah, or just, or just working. or like a football owner telling the coach, you know, and I mean, the coaches are on television. Yeah. They just go, you know, you're representing our organization. You've got to drop 30 pounds. And it's like, you know, I mean, the media would have a field day with something like that. And but it's wrestling, and that's Vince.
Now we focus on a big weekend this weekend. Of course, like you said, it's Royal Rumble weekend. Are you still excited for the Rumble after all this time? Like, does this still pique your interest as someone who covers the business?
I mean, the Rumble itself, I'm kind of like, no, but I am interested in Lesnar and Lashley. And I do think that Rollins and Roman Reigns probably have a hell of a match. So I'm interested in that, too. It's the second biggest show of the year. So, yeah, I'm interested in the show.
Who do you think is going to come out with titles out of this?
I know the plan was Lesnar and Rollins as champion originally. I don't know that changed. So I'm going to say that because it was the original thing. But that does require Roman Reigns to lose. And he was going to lose to Lesnar. But it's one thing to lose to Lesnar. It's another thing to lose to Rollins. I mean, obviously, something will happen. I don't know if it'll be Owens helping him or how they'll do it, if they do it. I mean, I was told that no title for title because they want one title on Saturday and one title on Sunday. And that does make sense. So all that stuff leads to the idea Rollins is winning. I mean, again, you know, Vince can decide the day of the show and just go, you know what? I want to fool everyone. Too many people know that Rollins is going to win. So let's have Reigns go over and we'll go title versus title. And we'll just put two women's title matches on Saturday and the one men's title on Sunday or something like that. You can do that.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Hotline. WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find him. We'll get to what's going on the newsletter in just a second here. But we're talking about this in the show today. And I've seen you talk about this before. We've all seen you on Dark Side of the Ring. And for those that haven't, if you see the episodes that Dave's on, you'll see his office. You'll see what I'm seeing now in our Zoom conversation. Just history of wrestling. I mean, to take a tour of your brain and the stuff you know and remember would be, I'm sure, it's too much for me to handle. I'd just go into a coma or something. But I want to take you back, Dave. We're talking about this with some of our Sunday Night's Main Event family. Your first main event at your first live wrestling show. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It was 1971, San Jose Civic Auditorium, and it was Ray Stevens, Peter Maivia, and Rocky Johnson against Pat Patterson, Superstar Billy Graham, and Paul DeMarco. So wow. That would have been the first main event that I saw live.
Do I dare ask, how old were you then?
11.
And to go on and see what those names would become or be a part of.
Well, right? Stevens was already a legend. Maivia was, I mean, he did go on to do more. And of course, the grandfather of Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. Rocky Johnson was just starting his rise. Patterson was there. I mean, he'd been a star since the mid 60s. And Graham just starting. It was one of his probably second full time year in the business. And of course, he became a big, big star a couple of years later. About a year or two later when he went to the AWA and really exploded. And then DeMarco, you know, this was actually one of his last territories. He ended up living in the Sacramento area, trained some guys. But basically, he didn't do a lot after. He was a very underrated, very good wrestler, though.
Getting to hear these stories, these little snippets of your life, I greatly appreciate you sharing those with us today as well. Because, I mean, that's what wrestling is, right? At the end of the day, we can always criticize it. We can always get on it. We can always have our favorites and our dislikes. But at the end of the day, we all have that one moment, that first show we went to.
Yeah, everyone has the first one, except for the people who never go.
That's true, right? And
yeah, people, I always think it's funny when, like, somebody will go, when they try to go, oh, The Miz was the biggest fan in the world. And it was like, how old was you the first time you went to a match? And it was like 23. And it's like, oh, yeah, he was a really big fan when he was growing up. They were in Cleveland every single month and he never went. That's a top level fan. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe they were poor, too. You never know. I mean, they weren't
that poor. All
right, fine. I'm trying to just give something here. But anyway, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, WrestlingObserver.com. What are some things you're working on this week?
This week is too early to know. But this last week, a lot of business stuff. This was actually one of my most interesting issues because we did the last 3 months, you know, the live attendance, ratings, every show, how it's done compared to the year before. what direction everybody's going, the gap between AEW and WWE in every single way, including some conclusions you can that are very obvious once you study the data. And then also another one based on the Vince quote or the WWE quote, but obviously it's from Vince, about AEW and why he said it, the underlying message, but the truth of parts of the message too. I think it's actually the quote about what Max Caster did a rap on it, even, you know, the gory self-mutilation. But there is a strategic reason. And Vince actually used almost the exact same quote in 1995 about WCW. So it's the same playbook. And it's just Vince's strategy. It's hypocritical in other ways, because it's like you say, like they don't do blood, but they will do blood in certain cases.
Or four words for you, even though I know it was simulated and we all know it was simulated, to say you don't promote gory self-mutilation or anything gory. Four words, eye for an eye.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, that was well, but WWE, well, you always find hypocrisy in that. Well, I mean, yeah. look at if WWE really felt like that, they would not be promoting on their own WWE network on Peacock matches just like this, just as bloody as anything AEW's done. And the Austin Bret Hart graphic, which has only been shown on television, you know, 1,000 times, we all know it. That was Bret Hart blading Steve Austin's head.
When Mick Foley tenderly fell off of a 30-foot high cage and, you know, just gently.
Well, he didn't blade himself, but yeah. I mean, but as far still. As danger, as far as like, you know, danger and you know, and things like that, that was about as dangerous as it gets in pro wrestling. Yeah.
All right, there we go. That and a lot more. Plus, I'm sure you're following all these AEW contract renewals or non-renewals. So
yeah.
We'll touch base more about that next week as more of these start to unroll as well. But Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter joins us every week right here. You can find all his content again at WrestlingObserver.com and a lot more as always. Dave, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, have a great week.
Coming up on Sunday night's main event, Boris and Matt join us for a chance to talk all about the Royal Rumble. Who are your picks and why, both from your head and from your heart? Plus, your feedback. We're going to talk about your first main event from your first live wrestling show. It's a bit of a memory road edition of Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. I'm Mike McGuire. Thank you very much for joining us. And it is time once again for the annual WWE Royal Rumble. 30 men, 30 women try and avoid being tossed over the top rope with both feet touching the floor. Very important, as always. And very important because it is the official kickoff to WrestleMania season. We have a Royal Rumble-sized panel here. Boris Aguilar, Matt Ederer from Boris and Matt, also from the NXT Talk. Both shows you can find on the Sunday night's main event, SNME Radio Podcast Network. SNMERadio.com is where you can find out all the info on that. Fellas, welcome back. How excited are you for the Rumble?
I'm excited. I'm pumped. Let's get this going.
Matt.
I gotta tell you, I'm still a little lukewarm on it, Mike. I'm not quite feeling the spirit yet, but you know what? By Saturday night, I'm sure I'll catch that vibe. It's the Royal Rumble. It's a ton of fun every year.
Yeah, important thing to remember as always, too, it is a Saturday night. Again, we're in this whole Saturday night pay-per-view era now. Sorry, premium live event era now. And there's a lot to think about going into this year's Rumble. The first question that always comes up for every wrestling fan out there, for every analyst, who do you want to win the Rumble matches and why? Matt, let's start with you. Who do you want to win the Rumble matches and who do you think will win the Rumble matches this year?
All right. So for the men's, it's easy. I want and think Big E Langston 2/ will win this Royal Rumble. I think Big E's going to come. He needs this huge win. He needs a big performance to cement his status as a main eventer. So I think it's going to be Big E, and I think he's going to probably challenge Rollins for the title. In the women's Rumble, I would like to see Bianca Belair win. for the same reason, but I think they're going to give it to Bayley. I think she's going to be the big surprise winner there.
Interesting. Okay. Boris.
All right. On the men's side, who I want to win is someone like an AJ Styles. If there's anyone who deserves this big win, that WrestleMania main event, it's AJ Styles, who I think is going to win. Okay. It's going to be Roman. He's going to lose his belt. He's going to take someone out, win the Rumble. And, you know, the original plans that WWE had are going to go in motion. On the women's side, who I want to win is exactly who Matt said, Bayley, who I realistically think is going to win. It's Charlotte. Why else would you put the champion in the Rumble?
Yeah, that's, you know, you guys make great points of both sides. I'm going to pick on the men's side, the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And on the women's side, oh, let's say Kelly, because I always try and do a sensible pretty. Both your guys' picks make perfect sense, but I'm that guy who always gets stuck like, this is what's going to happen, unless it's blatantly obvious. And even then, sometimes they like to mess around with you. I have horrible, horrible choices for the Rumble every year, but both your guys' arguments make perfect sense there. So, now that we have that, Boris, you're the ear to the ground. You're the guy that's monitoring all the SNME radio, social media feedback. We put the question out there. Who do you think will win the Royal Rumble matches and why? What do you got?
I love the eternal optimism or pessimism in some wrestling fans because Robbie Kempton said, what I want to see, Walter Gunther win and go against Brock, Bayley win and go up against Charlotte. What I think will happen, Owens wins, fight Seth at WrestleMania for the championship. Bianca wins, fights Becky at WrestleMania.
I think that's big hopes hoping to get Gunther into the main event of WrestleMania, but there is word that he'll be in there. Also, it was rumored that Bron Breakker, the NXT champion, might be in there as well, but I think they'll have good showings, but usually when the NXT people show up in the Rumble, it's a high-buy situation. So
Dan Austin said, if they are smart, Bayley comes back and wins the women's match. For the men, I think it has to be Lashley. Stephen Bourne said, women's is Bianca for her to have one last chance against Becky, and men's, it's Roman to get back at Brock. Danny Santos says, I think AJ Styles wins the men's Rumble. For the women's, whoever wins, it won't matter because the big storyline coming out of that will be Charlotte versus Lita.
Wow. Yeah.
I can see that for sure. I don't know if they would go with that at WrestleMania, but you can definitely see that that's going to be a match on the road too, I think. So maybe it might happen. Maybe that's your WrestleMania main event right there.
Well, I don't know if Lita would be going to Saudi Arabia, and that would be the only premium live event that they would have to really sell that match on, unless they put it on SmackDown or something. But I like the idea, actually, of Charlotte versus Lita at Mania because, I mean, if Lita comes out, they've already started that feud, right? If Lita comes out and eliminates the champ, that makes the automatic setup. Lita doesn't need to win the Rumble. That just sets up that feud either way. So it could be a Raw Women's Superstar winning that Rumble. It could be the SmackDown main event being Lita versus Charlotte. That's fascinating. I love that a lot. Okay. We've already talked about Gunther and Bron Breakker. So let me ask you guys this. Who would be a great surprise entrant in the men's or women's Rumble? You only get one, okay? So either a guy or a girl. Who would be your best surprise in this year's Rumble? Boris.
You know, this is maybe a little more realistic rather than a what the heart wants, but I'm going to have to say The Fiend. We've been seeing him release videos on YouTube. There's been some references, some shots of St. Louis. It's either the biggest tease or the most obvious return.
Matt, who you got?
I'm going to go with, on the female side, I'm going to go with Roxy. I think they could, they might have to rename her, which could lessen the impact, but I think they could kind of make an AJ Styles-esque star out of this performer if they really wanted to, even having her skip NXT entirely, although she'd probably still end up in NXT. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Roxy as the big, shocking kind of, you know, off the radar pick, and maybe she'll eliminate a gal or two.
Interesting. You bring up an interesting point because Roxy is one of those kind of indie darlings still because of the ROH association. Do you think she's a big enough name, though, to make that big of an impact?
Well, it's all in how they treat her, and not that I have a ton of faith in WWE, but if they tell you, if they tell you like Ring of Honor TV did, that she is the Connor McDavid of women's wrestling, she's the best, the number one prospect, and she goes in there and actually does damage, they could make a star in one night.
But they have, I mean, they have a Connor McGregor. It's big time Bex. Literally Irish orange hair. Like, what else do you need?
Connor McDavid, not Connor McGregor.
I'm sorry.
It could be a Connor versus Connor feud down the road. Who knows? Oh.
I want the actual McDavid versus McGregor fight now. That's what I want.
My money is right now would firmly be on McDavid.
I think we can trust that McDavid can probably take a punch. He's a hockey player. I don't know if McGregor can anymore.
Who's suffering more though, McDavid or McGregor right now?
Oh, certainly McDavid. And we love the Oilers. I'm hoping that they turn around. But yeah, McGregor's on an island somewhere with his feet up. He's not doing too badly, I think. McDavid's in the dog days of the NHL season.
He's okay. He's in that giant house of his. Okay. When you look at the Rumble matches, especially the women's match this year, true or false, WWE is a nostalgia company that relies more on names of the past than their current stars. So, Matt, I know you're kind of sweating this one. Do you want to go first or do you want to pass it to Boris?
I'm not sweating at all. I just want to say I think that's succinctly put and inarguably true. Of course that's true. Well, have you watched the show since like 2012? Yeah, man. Yes, of course. That it is a nostalgia company. It is a memory factory. But, you know, we love it.
Boris.
100%. It's 100% true. Even our members think so. People are picking Lita to at least to face Charlotte. And Lita, a name who hasn't been a full-time wrestler in over a decade. So yes, 100% true. But just like we've always said, wrestling is a reflection of the society that we live in. We are 100% a nostalgic society. So to me, it makes sense that WWE kind of capitalizes on the past. At the same time, it might show the flaws in their current system as they aren't able to build up stars and rely on the past so much.
That's totally fair. And the reason I asked this question too is because I'm a big merchandise fan and it is getting overwhelming with how many stars of the past they sell merch for now. If you're an action figure collector, it's harder to find newer stars because they'll pump out like 40 Macho Man figures a year. They'll put out a ton of Bret Hart stuff now, which I love, don't get me wrong, but it definitely is leaning more towards selling the stars of the past than it is the current or the future. So maybe this is where a guy like Edge thrives. Maybe this is where Randy Orton still thrives. Frankly, this is where Brock Lesnar still thrives because let's not forget Brock Lesnar came in about the same time Lita did, really. I mean, she was in a few years earlier with the Attitude Era, but she was still in her prime when Brock was coming in. So, I mean, it's anybody's guess as to who the next memory factory product will be. But when you think about it, John Cena is becoming a nostalgia act now. And that probably hurts all of us to hear and say because it means we're all getting old. But there you have it. The WWE Royal Rumble again this Saturday night. Boris, there's going to be an SNME radio after party for the Rumble. Tell us about that.
This Saturday, we're going to change things up a little bit. It's going to be Matt and I, but we're going to be joined by Jason Agnew himself. That's this Saturday, a couple minutes after the Royal Rumble. In order to partake in the conversation, you have to be a patron. You can join at patreon.com/SNME radio. The feed will be available to everybody on YouTube, on hopefully Facebook, and we'll let everyone know throughout the week.
There you go, SNMEradio.com. Follow our social media where you can leave comments and feedback just like you did for the Royal Rumble this year. We got a lot more to come, including more of your feedback. We're going to take a trip down memory lane and ask you about your first live wrestling show. Independent, WWE, WCW, NWA, UWF. Where were you? What did you see? And who was in the main event? Matt, do you remember your first live wrestling show and who was in the main?
Oh, it's so funny. I have very fleeting memories of it. It was in Sudbury. It was in 1992. And I looked it up and I believe the main event was Savage versus Flair, which like hooked that to my veins. I do remember a 1994 show and the main event was Lex Luger versus Tatanka. Way worse, much worse.
Boris, yours?
Right. So mine was Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler in a steel cage match, October 1993 at Maple Leaf Gardens.
That's a good bill right there. When they were still sending the world champ to the smaller towns, Bret the Hitman Hart versus Ric Flair, WWF Championship on the line. Bret wins by DQ. A week later, wins the world championship here in Saskatoon. So pretty crazy, pretty awesome to see that build. And here we are now, still talking about wrestling all these years later. We got lots more to come right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio. patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down.
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right.
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections,
and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and wherever you're listening, thank you for doing that. You can also catch this show in its entirety, sometimes with some bonus content as well, through our Patreon feed. SNMERadio.com is where you can find all those details. I'm Mike McGuire, sticking around for this part of the show. Boris Aguilar, Matt Ederer from Boris and Matt and NXT Talk, just two of the many, many shows you get as a bonus Patreon member of SNME Radio. And fellas, we threw out a question to the SNME Radio family this past week asking about your first live pro wrestling show. And wherever you're listening, I think you can relate to this feeling. If you remember, if you were old enough to remember your main event of your first live wrestling show, what was it? And Boris, you've got an amazing list here today.
All right. So one that came up a lot, I'm going to give the credit to Robbie Kempton for putting it out there first. Okay. And that's Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff at Exhibition Stadium in Toronto. The big event that WWF put out in Coliseum Home Video.
Oh, this was a huge one.
Show. This is a, you know, 50,000 person house show at the Exhibition Stadium.
I remember watching that tape. Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to say, WWE, I think, will tell you they packed 75,000 in there. But yeah, I think the actual attendance was over 60,000, though, in Exhibition Stadium. That was Hulk Hogan has always been an absolutely humongous star in Toronto, but that's the big one that people point to. Like, yeah, Hulk Hogan, Orndorff, what a shout. That would have been amazing to be there. August 28th, 1986. Just Google that.
All right. Speaking of Hulk Hogan pointing, Shane McClure was one of the lucky people who went to Hulk Hogan versus Kevin Nash, the finger poke of doom.
Ooh, lucky.
That is amazing. Also, famously, the same night that Mick Foley won the world title, right? On TV, at least, anyway. But yeah, what an event to be at. I wonder how the crowd reacted. I wonder what it would have felt like to be in that crowd in that moment.
I would sense a lot of confusion. I would also sense a lot of dread, anger, remorse. It's kind of like when we watch NXT 2.0.
Oh, now. Yeah, I think if I was a fan in that crowd, at the time, I probably would have been pretty ticked because, you know, you pay for a ticket, you get this huge main event promise, and then you get the blow off. But looking back, as we do talk about how nostalgic wrestling is these days, I think being able to say I was at that is kind of a cool feeling, too. So that's definitely a great memory to have.
Yeah. Another one that I really enjoyed was Jake Allenar, Money in the Bank 2011 in Chicago. Oh. John Cena versus CM Punk, which Meltzer gave 5 stars.
Wow. Literally one of the most famous crowds ever in pro wrestling. Certainly in this era, probably the most famous of this century.
That match to this day. What's the first match that you show someone that's not a wrestling fan? That's in my top 5 picks for sure, because if you're able to explain the story, and you don't even have to because commentary does such a great job. They establish the walking out with the title that night. And yeah, seeing the reaction, especially when he comes out, that first lick of that old Fire Burns music from CM Punk coming out. I mean, just the way Chicago just lights up. And to this day, I mean, the guy could be mayor of Chicago tomorrow, I'm sure, if he ran. So
Charles Bruns says Extreme Rules 2009, Jeff Hardy versus Edge, ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jeff Hardy won, only for CM Punk to successfully cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
Another Punk reference there. Have either of you been present for a cash in?
No. I haven't, actually.
No, me neither. No, I haven't gone to very many WWE shows, although I did see a couple pay-per-views in the last 5-6 years. But no, I have not. That would be a ton of fun.
I managed to get to the Raw after WrestleMania 29, and that was where Ziggler cashed in.
Oh,
on Alberto Del Rio. And if you remember, at Mania, he had that tag match, and everybody was expecting him to just cash in that night after the match between him and Jack Swagger. But no. Monday Night Raw, Del Rio gets injured. Ziggler comes down. They gave it a nice match time, too, for a Money in the Bank cash-in. Like, for an actual injury cash-in, they gave Del Rio a couple hope spots. But in the end, Ziggler won. The place was on fire. Like, it was just amazing. That's also the show that had the Sheamus and Orton match that started the tradition of chanting after Mania. So it was an insane night, but that's a great memory as well. So I hope someday you guys get to experience a cash-in, because it's nuts. It's awesome.
I can imagine. Another good one here, and this one is going to the past, Doug Pelton, and I just love this comment. Sheik carving up someone at Maple Leaf Gardens, 1971. I can't really comment at all outside of the fact that A, it's in the 70s. B, Maple Leaf Gardens, such an iconic arena for wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. That old school ramp leading up to the ring, just so gorgeous, so beautiful. Actually, there's like more footage of Maple Leaf Gardens from like the 60s and 70s trickling out on YouTube and stuff. A lot of it is silent, which sucks, but it's pretty cool to see how much, like, in 2022, there's still footage coming out of wrestling that we haven't seen. And, you know, and Maple Leaf Gardens is kind of like a forgotten all-time great wrestling venue. You know, it doesn't get the credit it deserves.
All right, Boris, we got time for, I think, a couple more here. Give us some more main events from people's past as they look back on their first live pro wrestling event ever here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
For those people who watch some Dark Side of the Ring, here's one for you. William Corliss says Johnny V and the Dream versus King Tonga and the Bulldogs at Maple Leaf Gardens. He says, I had to look up since I was 5, and all I remember is the Bundy splash on Ted Grizzly and Johnny K9.
My gosh.
The only thing that springs to mind is how absolutely insane K9 was. As a Sudbury boy, I didn't realize all the stuff. Like, he blew up a cop station that was like probably 5-minute walk from where I used to live. So it just canine is just a local legend around the Sudbury parts. It turns out.
That's one of those guys who you just hear stories about, and it almost sounds like it's coming out of a TV series. Like, he's almost like Walter White. Like, there's no way this guy can be doing all this stuff, you know?
Absolutely. So, just insane. I actually have to go back and watch that Dark Side again, because watching it the first time, it almost felt like a out-of-body experience. Because literally, that cop station was less than 10 minutes away from my home.
Oh, wow. That's nuts. All right, Boris, we got time for one more. Give us one more main event here from People's Past.
This one is from Martin Rio, Montreal Forum, September 1989. Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man Randy Savage. Just a classic match. They must have done this match 1,001 times, but seeing these two in a match together in the 80s must have been something special, eh?
That'd be nuts. Hogan, Savage. And yeah, they wrestled everywhere. Everybody thinks of WrestleMania 5 as the big match, but there were other Hogan Savage matches that were all great, but yeah, I can't imagine getting to see that live.
And with a Montreal crowd backing it too. Those fans are always great. So that would be a ton of fun.
Well, there you have it. Some of your memories, the SNME Radio family. All these comments, by the way, coming off of our Facebook page. So if you're not following yet, look up SNME Radio on Facebook, get it in there, and be a part of the conversation. We're going to have new topics like this every week. If you want to hear more of Boris and Matt together, they are a ton of fun, especially on the Boris and Matt Show, as well as NXT Talk, which you can hear as part of the Patreon feed. Again, less than a buck a show. You get so much content, and you support this show, which we truly do appreciate. But either way, you're here, you're listening. Fellas, I want to thank you again for being a part of this week's episode of the show. And if you would like more information, if you would like to follow along, snmeradio.com is where you can do that. Until next time, don't forget, Rumble After Party coming up Saturday night after the Royal Rumble. Jason Agnew will be there. And until next time, as always, thank you for listening, letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. Be seeing ya.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.